You're listening to The Bob and Bo Show. Here are your hosts, Ty Bob, Ty Bo, and Sean.
Boys are back, baby.
The boys are back in town.
It's about time.
The Bob and Boys.
You guys been doing this for a time.
Bob and Bo and Show have been taking a break.
Sure.
Taking it easy.
Not for me. Work has been kicking my ass.
It's getting hot down in Florida now.
It's not even hot yet, and it's hot.
The gators started popping out yet?
I have not seen a gator in the wild in person down here yet. So
not a single gator. For Florida, being the Gators, them, man, you think you'd see them more.
Actually, I think I've seen crocodiles on the safari in Animal Kingdom, but I have not. I haven't seen any gators in the wild.
You've seen captured gators and crocodiles.
That is correct. That's what. Yes. All right.
No gator man down there?
Nope. Not me. I'm not fishing, Garrett. You know what I'm saying? Dag. What's up, guys? I'm in the Florida Everglades looking for the 20-footer.
I'm going to need that.
Can't seem to find him.
You know that guy?
No.
You don't know that guy?
I do not. I've never heard of him. Oh, fishing, man. Garrett?
Sean, you know that guy?
That's the dude that goes around barefoot, right?
I'm in the Florida Everglades.
Yeah.
He starts at every video like that, pretty much. He's also been down in the Amazon.
Barefoot, man. That shit's crazy.
No thanks.
After seeing like the video with all the shit in there, oh,
absolutely not. It's far, that far is a cesspool waiting.
The thing that makes me really uncomfortable though is the bugs.
The bugs are.
He'll be like, the bugs aren't that bad tonight, and he's swarming, dude. Like, there's not an inch in sight that you can't see a bug flying. That's the part that would really fucking get me, man.
Tybo, did you know? Since you're down there, did you know? Like crocodiles, alligators, they do not eat their food right away. Like, they kill an animal, it doesn't just get eaten.
What do they do then?
So that's why the swamp we were just talking about. That's why the swamps are so disgusting, and just a cesspool. Is they take whatever they kill, whether it be human or another animal, take it and then they submerge it underwater and hide it in a bank and let it rot in that cesspool before they eat it.
It is nasty, man.
I think that just. Goes along with the environment of just being like soaked in water constantly, you know?
Fair.
But yeah, dude, gross. And there are saltwater crocodiles that are increasing in population along the beaches in Florida.
Yep. They'll get you. Saltwater gators are starting to become an increasing
crocodile. Saltwater crocodile.
Saltwater crocs.
Different, man. Come on.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Whoa.
They're growing in population. Something to be worried about down your way.
I've been knowing about that. I've seen more than a few videos and articles about that shit. And I'm not.
You should go out and find them for us.
Not going to the beach anymore. let's just say that.
Well, the NFL is headed to Detroit for this year's annual NFL draft. Coming up,
Kansas City. That's going to be fucking trash.
Oh, dude, have you guys seen the pictures? Like, it doesn't look as fun. Like, everything's asphalt. There's no grass. There's no, it just looks like typical Motor City Detroit where your body is going to hurt and you have no place to sit comfortably.
Nothing speaks more to Detroit than that right there. Sit comfortably.
That's a fucking, that's the truth.
It is on Thursday. So by the time you're hearing this, you're only a day away or the day of. But there is quite a bit of movement going around in the NFL. I feel like rumors, especially surrounding the Chiefs, have been a little lackadaisical this year. We are not getting an inch out of the Kansas City Chiefs and where they may be going at pick 32. Could they trade up or trade down? We're also not getting a whole lot of movement out of the rest of the league. We know there's a couple teams that are talking about trading up, but I feel like usually the week of the draft, we're getting a lot more rumors and just overall talk and dynamic between teams or at least reporters.
I think the next 24 to 48 hours right before the draft is going to be crazy rumor central right there. There's nothing but rumors right now for teams trying to trade up to get a new quarterback. And it's going to get a lot heavier over the past two, now the next 2 days. Cause all I've seen is like, oh, it's not enough offering right now. They're going to up those offers right away. They're going to try to have somebody move up and get into those key spots, 3, 4, or 5 right there.
We've already had off-season trades happen. Something that we didn't talk about because we were on break. Diggs, Stephon Diggs, formerly of the Vikings and now formerly of the Buffalo Bills, is in Houston with the Texans. They only traded away a second-round pick to get him, and then also restructured his contract so that he could be a free agent by the end of this season. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, they already do not have a first round pick for this year because they traded it away last year when they traded up to get Will Anderson.
Junior. Yes. That pick belongs to the Arizona Cardinals right now.
At 4. Correct. Gotcha.
Their pick is like, that's the
pick. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Texans were a lot better than that.
Yeah. I forget. So does that move the needle for you at all with the Houston Texans and whatever their plans may be in the draft or moving forward into the season?
I think it's honestly great for the Texans. They're going all in right now for CJ Stroud. This is what you need to do for a rookie quarterback, especially someone of his caliber. Look at what can happen. And I mean, Stephon can go anywhere after that. The only team that they said that you're not allowed to talk to is the Chiefs.
In the trade talks. Yeah.
In the trade talks. He's going to be a free agent next year. He may have some interest to come and play with Patrick. I may not be a fan of it, but
pull a Kevin Durant and just go to the team's rival that's been kicking your ass forever for so many years.
He might be a little bit too much of a diva. I don't think he'll
That's the thing. Great. Like you it looks great on paper, but it's one of those things that type of personality, you implant him to an offense, you know, could go south. It could go really well. But like if you get a guy that starts getting upset about targets and you're not feeding him the ball and the offense doesn't flow through him and or whatever it might be, like Stephon Diggs could cause just problems in the locker room. So.
Yeah, and we can go back. I mean, there's some videos around of his days in Minnesota, and it seems overall like he was a fairly good teammate, but you could kind of tell in some of the answers on some of the joke questions that they would throw around that not too many people were real fond of Stephon Diggs. And then you get to the Twitter issues and everything that's going on or went on in Buffalo. And now it could definitely be a needle mover. It is on paper in Houston, but now you've got Stephon Diggs, you've got Nico Collins, you've got Joe Mixon, who just came in. Tank Dell is going to be coming back from injury at some point. They've got some other guys on that roster who were injured last year and couldn't make it, or some rookie guys to pay attention to. There's a lot of talent down there, but given the history that Stephon Diggs has, that could also go completely wrong.
It can, but that's why they made it a one-year contract in the end. That's all it is.
Trying to get contract year Diggs to help them get a Super Bowl title.
Get everything they possibly can out of him. Then, hey, you're a cancer to our locker room. Get out of here.
Go ahead.
I mean, when the skill players look as good as they do, you look at the stuff that usually gets overlooked in offensive line and defense, wherever holes you have there, that gets shored up. The Texans look like a team that are better than they won a playoff game. Yeah.
Yeah. They did win a playoff game.
Not sure.
I'll go ahead and say it. They're better than the
could go deeper
next year.
That's what that's pretty low hanging fruit. That's not that.
Low hanging fruit was saying they're better than the Bills. I'm going medium hanging fruit right here. Still in within reaching distance.
Can they beat the team that they just lost to with Derrick Henry?
Yikes.
I don't know.
That's basically what it is. And then the next test after that is us. So
it's true.
Who are you gonna beat to be number two? And then it's us.
There were a couple other trades, nothing really of significance that happened post dig trade. We had Mac Jones, who is now in Jacksonville, backing up former draft class teammate, I guess, whatever you want to call it, in Trevor Lawrence. And then you also
colleague, maybe
there you go. Sure. And then you also had another. You had another trade in Zach Wilson, who went from the Jets and is now at the Broncos. Currently, right now, he would probably be their starting quarterback, and I couldn't love it any less.
We love
it. It's fantastic. We will have
the greatest resident move in the history of the Broncos sports, dude. I love this move for the Broncos. This is they're gonna get consistency. They're gonna get what they've been wanting all along.
John Elway, fantastic QB evaluator. Let me tell you, I cannot wait to have on resident Broncos fan and friend of the show, Kyle, on post draft.
I don't think he would want to come on after this, dude. Like,
I don't know.
What do you mean? He has his franchise quarterback.
We're just gonna berate you about Zach Wilson for however long we run the damn podcast.
I did text him the other day and I was like, hey, I was like, looks like you got your quarterback for the future. And he goes, yeah, right. Said, we're definitely getting you back on before the for the show before the season starts. And he goes, just get some misery out of me. Why don't you? Told him it wouldn't be as much fun if the Broncos were good.
Thanks for outlining your entire text conversation with him, bud.
You're welcome.
I couldn't tell where it was going, but.
Well, that lines up all the significant trades that went on. There is a little bit of some rumor for some trouble that's what? Going on in the NFL. Atlanta and Kirk Cousins could be seeing some suspensions, some draft removals, some fines for potential tampering. While Kirk was in Minnesota.
That's feature them problem. They don't care about it. They're not going to take any draft picks from this year.
Yeah, it could be from next year and following years.
They don't care. They're already paying for Kirk for this year. They're going all in for this year only. If it doesn't work out, they'll deal with the consequences later.
They'll still have Kirk on a 5-year deal.
They won't have most of their players that they need, though. They're going to lose some money, some draft picks.
I think, well, most of their draft picks that they have, most of their starters that they have are what, all first rounders. So you're still going to have Bijan. He's got 3 more years after this, including the team option. You're still got Drake London for a couple of years. You still got,
he's close to his time up there for his new contract.
This is his third year. He'll have 2 seasons left. Kyle Pitts will have 1 season left with the team option, not to include their defense that they do have locked up. That's at least a half decent defense. But that could spell trouble for them down there. This is one of the first times that we're seeing, I would say probably in the last decade, really, that we are seeing a team that could potentially be in trouble with tampering and the new rules that they have in place. What do you guys think could happen with this?
I think worst case scenario, which I think would be the best TV for the NFL. I think it would, instead of it working out and being really cool down in Atlanta, if you know they do all this tampering shit, they lose draft picks for the future. Kirk Cousins comes back from that Achilles and is just shit. And they're screwed for the next years or year.
That'd make for some good TV.
I would love it if they would go like, hey, Kirk, this wasn't allowed. They ship him back to Minnesota. Would never happen, but
right.
That would be great TV.
Yeah, Sean, shut up.
Ship him back to Minnesota. Minnesota has the 11th pick in this year's NFL draft. And they are looking to take a quarterback. Now, there's quite a few quarterbacks, and there have been a few rumors about where certain quarterbacks may fall. I know Drake May was early talk of the NFL on being taken number two by the Commies, shortly followed by Jaden Daniels. And now it is looking like the Commies may take J.J. McCarthy. Who are your guys' favorite quarterbacks in this draft class outside of Caleb Williams, who will be going number one overall to the Bears?
Why isn't is Michael Penix fucking getting drafted?
Michael Penix is in the draft. They are looking to send him.
He's too somewhere, old, man.
But they do not like old? His age. Is he 25, I believe?
Yeah.
25 years old. He's looking like a day two pick. At least that was the initial thought. There has been movement in the last couple of days that some teams may be looking to take him.
There's always
late.
There's always one black quarterback in the draft that people aren't like taking seriously and turns out to be a good prospect. Come on now.
Fair.
Oh, Jaden Daniels is still my favorite quarterback in this draft, even more than Caleb Williams.
But
okay, Jaden Daniels still my favorite quarterback in this draft, even ahead of Caleb Williams. I think if the Commies miss him with two, they are one of the stupidest organizations in the NFL. Yeah, he has that weird elbow problem. So what? Dude makes plays.
So
he's a Heisman winner.
Go, J.J. McCarthy.
A guy who barely threw it in college, but you don't know what you're getting in the NFL. Yeah, that's.
Blew it.
And do we really know what we're getting out of Jaden Daniels either? Like, yes, he did win the Heisman. Yeah, they put up a lot of points, but they had to fight back from being down.
Offensive year in NCAA history.
What?
Statistically, he put up the best offense in NCAA history.
Yeah, he did, but the team was also down by 40 points every single game.
You act like it's his fault.
You know what? Just very much like with Dak, if you had three opportunities to score to keep it in touch, like your offense is supposed to keep in line with the other team, yet you're not because you're losing by multiple scores every time. Just because your defense gives up the points doesn't mean that you can't score.
Dude, rue this day, man. You will rue this day. Talking all shit on Jaden Daniels. He is going to be a top quarterback for this draft class.
All right.
Of all time? Definitely not. I'm not saying that. But he's going to have a great rookie campaign. He's probably getting hurt somewhere through there. He takes a lot of hits. That's the one thing I don't like about him. He takes a lot of hits and they look like car crashes every single time.
Pocket presence is mid.
It's a little bit worse than RG3, and that's saying something.
Oof.
But he's going to shine. He can throw it perfectly. He can run the ball. He's effective.
What is with everyone's love of Drake May? I get it. He looks like the prototypical NFL quarterback in size and stature. But we have yet to see a quarterback who comes out of North Carolina or Duke, anywhere in the North Carolinas, play well in the NFL. We've got Sam Howell, who's garbage. You've got Danny Dimes. Garbage. We have not seen a North Carolina quarterback play well. Now you've got another one in Drake May who meets that prototype that the NFL wants, but hasn't ever really shown it.
It's because he's white. Point blank.
That's what I say.
Great analysis, Sean.
I mean, he's from North Carolina. He can't prove it. Who does he play every year?
In the ACC? Good luck.
Yeah, nobody.
Carolinians.
Oh. What? He was great friends with Sam Howell. He was a quarterback in the same room with him. Like, if you have that guy with Sam Howell, how can that be a good combination right there?
Howell.
Yes, Sam Howell made it to the NFL. But he's struggling so much. His college teammate is going to do the same thing.
I don't disagree. It's not like Sam Howell's on a very good team, but I would agree that the North Carolina quarterbacks have yet to make an impact in the NFL. It just doesn't look good for those boys. And I don't understand the hype around Drake May like the NFL is seeing.
I would love to see him drop to the Giants, have the Giants take him, have the real rivalry begin. Duke quarterback versus UNC quarterback. Which one can prevail in New York?
And it's Tommy DeVito.
Tommy Gutlitz.
The Vikings. Guys,
being a starting quarterback in the NFL is one of the hardest things to become and maintain. Like, it's a lot of work, dude. So, like, why don't you stop?
That's why I'm not one.
Could have been. Decided not to be.
No, he could not have been.
I could have been. I decided at a very young age.
Could not have been a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I said whenever I was a kid, people asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, I don't want to be an NFL starting quarterback.
Well, you don't think that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. You couldn't have been.
You don't think Sean can throw a tight spiral?
You were not given the genetics. The genetics in your DNA, would all the shit that's written biologically inside of you, it had nothing to do with being an NFL quarterback.
You talking shit on my family right now?
No.
He's taller than Kyler Murray. I mean, all he needed to do is hit the gym a little bit.
No. Mm-mm.
He can't throw a tight spiral, you think?
On a good day.
Even if he could, he's not an NFL quarterback. It's not in him.
That's why I'm not one.
I already know. That you aren't. All right. Well, I'm getting tired of the boring rumors. Let's get something Chiefs related going.
Okay. All right. We'll skip the Vikings.
Yeah.
Screw the draft. I mean,
the Chiefs. I want a higher pick than pick 32.
And there's a possibility of that.
There is. Most teams, the rumors are most teams in the league do not want to do any sort of trading with the Chiefs, with how good we've been and building a dynasty, that they don't want to give us any leg to stand on when it comes to the draft.
The Bears.
Except maybe the Bears, whose GM is Ryan Poles, comes from the Kansas City Chiefs front office.
Our Poles.
And they're looking at building as much draft capital as possible. So it is possible that they would like to move off the 9th overall pick, where the Kansas City Chiefs could jump in with our many needs. Do you guys think it would be wise for us to trade up into the 9th overall spot? Could there be availability on players that you guys like?
I mean, if you really, really want to go in for the 3-peat, do it. If you don't care about what happens after the 3-peat, stay where you are.
Things happen so fast on draft day, really. I mean, you only got 10 minutes to make that pick, right? There's been one team in history that missed their pick because too much shit was going on. Like, shit goes on down to the wire, you know? And it all depends. This is the main thing. How many quarterbacks? I'm getting the Brian Windhorst going here. It all depends on how many quarterbacks get taken. And if the right guy is there at pick 9 and the boom, bam, we'd get it done. You know, I mean,
who's that right guy for you, Tybo?
The Bears are, I don't know. The Bears are stupid enough. The Bears are totally stupid enough to do this and let the Chiefs, the reigning two straight back to back Super Bowl champions. The reigning, defending. All right. stupid enough to let us get the ninth pick. They're stupid enough.
I've seen talks like, if we're going to trade up for that, it's going to be for Brock Bowers.
Wow.
I like Brock. But, man, that would be bad.
You fucking Sean. Jeez.
I like that, but that would not be good. I mean, Brock Bowers is the type of guy who comes in and he would be an immediate starter. You would not want to waste what could potentially be his entire rookie contract backing up Travis Kelce and then kind of not left with much to go on from there.
Positions that I mean, left tackle. If there's a left tackle, bona fide NFL starter, you think he's going to last a long time, like lock up a good left tackle. I'm totally down for, protecting Pat's backside. Longevity-wise.
There's definitely
big name I've seen for that right there is Joe Alt, and I think he's going to be gone by 7 at the latest. I don't see – have you guys seen any other names that would be popping out around there? One name was the guy from Houston, but I can't remember his name right now.
Is that Jalen Guyton?
And may have been. I'm not quite sure, but it was definitely the guy from Houston. He had crazy good stats throughout his whole entire year there.
He's there, but I think the Houston left tackle that would be available would be later on, that we could definitely get a cheaper trade up for. It wouldn't have to be 9 if another team was willing to do so. Joe Alt, I've seen, could go definitely in the top 7, though. Again, like Tybo was saying, everything happens so quickly on draft night. There can be a run on anything. Are teams like the Broncos or the Raiders or even the Vikings going to trade up into the top 10 to take a run on a quarterback? Are there going to be teams that trade up for a run on the wide receivers, kind of like we saw last year in Kansas City? And will the Chiefs potentially be part of that? Who knows whatever those runs may be. It just depends on when it kind of starts to fall apart for some of those teams. But we do have massive needs. Obviously, wide receiver is a big one. We've got a number one for this year in Hollywood Brown. Who knows what's going to happen with the Rashee Rice situation.
Don't say it. No.
Who knows what happens with that. That's going to be an issue in itself.
We have to just not acknowledge it. We have to.
There's definitely going to be a suspension. Do we know when? No. How long? No, but it will be multiple games.
Gotta be a fucking idiot, man.
There's obviously criminal implications that go along with that as well.
Criminal?
So, we'll have to see how that turns
over
out.
Over or under 4.5 games, he gets suspended.
I don't know.
I'm going to go ballsy here. I'm going to take the under.
I got 6 to 8.
2 to 4.
Would be nice. But obviously receiver is a big need. Tybo touched on it. Left tackle is a massive need. Donovan Smith is no longer a Kansas City Chief. The only player that we have left is Wanya Morris, who has not shown the coaches and staff enough to say that the job is his. But somebody's definitely going to be able to come in and compete for that job. We also have a massive, massive need at defensive end and defensive line. After this upcoming season, we've only got 2 defensive ends on contract. Excuse me, 3 with Mike Dana coming in and signing a multi-year contract. We have 3 after this upcoming season. We need to lock in some new players at that position. We've also only got 1 player on the defensive line, I believe that is, and Chris Jones, who is contracted out for past the 2024 season. So 3 massive needs there. We also need to shore up back end spot at tight end, as I believe this is Noah Gray's final year on his contract. We're low on linebackers, and with potential issues coming in from contracts for Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, that internal offensive line, center, right guard could also be in need when we're talking about depth.
Yes, quite. That was a great,
indubitably
great rundown of the Chiefs and roster needs. I do indubitably, wholeheartedly agree.
I concur.
if we do trade up, would you guys rather see a defensive end, a left tackle, or wide receiver, since those are our three biggest needs going into Thursday?
I would love to see a left tackle. Who knows if we do it? We've been finding pretty good linemen throughout the draft over the past few years. We can find somebody later on a little bit, probably. I would love to see go get Jared Verse. I think he's a guy that'll fall a little bit. He may not be the most productive sack wise, but he has a motor like no other. He gets after it. And coming from Florida State, who else do you know from Florida State? Who did anything there? Keon Coleman. Okay. We're not going to draft him that early. Jared Verse could be that guy. He could fall a decent amount, trade up in the teens, early 20s, somewhere in there.
Wouldn't be bad. Guys,
if left tackle, like I already spat out left tackle and I thought that was good enough, but if you want my backup to that, it'd be a pass rusher. And I think as far as importance goes, positions on the field, quarterback, pass rusher, left tackle. I feel like having a good pass rush is better than having a left tackle. So give me a dynamic pass rusher, someone who can be on the edge, and Karloftis can move around like we like to do with him. You know what I'm saying?
It, not to mention that Minihue, who is out of contract at the end of this season, is also going to be out for the beginning portion of the 24 season due to the recovery from the ACL tear. So we definitely will need help early on at that position. But
these bodies. I mean, they'll come. The staff, the front office is going to get them. They're going to come from somewhere. So
there is one big body out there that I think will drop second, third round, possibly because of his recent DWI that he had beginning of April. Tavondre Sweat.
Good old D-Dub. Ooh, somebody with Sweat in his last name. That's been a good move for the NFL in the NFL. If you got a pass rusher with the name Sweat as his last name, take him.
He's 6'4", 362.
My goodness.
Montez Sweat. Fucking. There's there's another one.
Keith the Sweat. Other Sweat.
Oh, shit.
He's going to go and find all two of the Sweats that are in the
But when you see one, you got to draft him.
Wide receiver is definitely
Josh Sweat for the Eagles.
There you go.
Two.
Is definitely the position that is highlighted most in this year's draft class. You've got a ton of names, but a lot of guys that won't fall down to the Chiefs should we stay at 32. Adonai Mitchell most definitely won't be falling to the Kansas City Chiefs.
He's got another one.
I'm waiting for him to go. He won't stop cracking up.
Josh Sweat's brother? Hang on. Vondre Sweat?
Three.
He's a tackle.
Make sure you pick him up.
But there are players on this draft board that possibly could make it down to 32 if the Chiefs elect to wait that long. Xavier Worthy is one. You've got another guy in Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. Keon Coleman And Ricky Pearsall out of Florida, the guy who made that fantastic catch that we were all glamoring about earlier this season, is another guy that could wait until 32, or maybe we could catch them in day two. Although there seemed to be a lot of high grades on Ladd McConkey, whereas Keon Coleman is falling in stature due to a lot of people going back and looking at his routes run and how successful they were in college, and seeing that he doesn't necessarily carry the abilities to be able to route run at an effective rate, even in college.
That's probably who the Chiefs are going to draft, someone who can't get separation. What's new? No, I mean, we did draft Rashee Rice, got separation, but,
maybe behind he line should have
separated himself from the car that he was in before.
We're not talking about that. Don't worry.
We're not. I'm sorry. I was supposed to just ignore it.
No, I was listening to another podcast earlier today.
Oh, wait. Hang on. I don't want anybody on my team who's named Ladd. All right.
Why?
What's that? Well, me personally, there was a manager that worked for the Lowe's that we worked at in college. He probably still works there because he's a fucking fat bum. But he tried to prevent me from getting hired the second time, like when I wanted to come back. And I was like, fuck you, bro. Because he would pretend he would be nice to me. Like I didn't know he had a problem with me until somebody told me about that. And I was like, bro, eat a dick.
Shout out Ladd from Lowe's.
Actually, no, don't shout him out.
The opposite of a shout out.
What's the opposite of a shout out?
I'll bleep his name out.
A whisper in?
Whisper in? What are you whispering in?
Thank you.
Ooh. All right.
Anyways, before I was rudely interrupted right there, I was listening to another podcast. They were talking about Keon Coleman. This dude on 50-50 balls only had a 33% chance to catch that ball. Dude's not good in that situation.
All right, you do that math. If it's already a 50-50 ball,
that means the cornerback has a better chance of
catching it 33% of the time. How? All right.
That's the cornerback's ball.
What's the... All right.
But no, I personally, I love Ladd.
No.
I love Ladd McConkey for our team.
No. Oh, my God, dude. That's such a stupid name.
Well, so is Wes Welker and Julian Edelman, but those guys turned out great.
Wes Welker's cool. That's an alliteration. That's like a wicked Wes Welker. All right? Like, you could do cool shit with Wes Welker. Like,
what are you going to do cool shit with Ladd McConkey?
Yeah. What are you going to...
Sounds like an Irish beer.
It probably tastes like shit.
So who would you take if
Ladd's? Well, it actually sounds like a bar name.
That'd be a pretty good bar.
Ladd's.
God damn it, the Ladd's. Get it? Only me and Sean would get that. Unless you're listening in Cape Girardeau.
Go to Lowe's to visit Ladd too.
Go to D Lads. Actually, invite Ladd from Lowe's to D Lads. Oh, Jesus Christ. That's funny. If you went to school at SEMO, you would understand why that, well, not, and you worked alone.
All zero people of you listening who have been to SEMO or Cape Girardeau.
No.
We got one listener, two listeners
more,
at least.
It's even more niche than that. Like you had to work at Lowe's.
We got two. Don't worry.
Oh, fuck.
So Sean, we're on the same page. No Keon Coleman. He seemed pretty good early in the season at FSU when making some highlight plays. But then after that, the guy has dropped off. He can't run routes, can't create separation. does not catch 50-50 balls, whereas we got a guy in Ladd McConkey who creates enough separation and can catch those balls. And then we've got Xavier Worthy, who is the fastest receiver, actually fastest player at this year's combine, running, I believe, a 4.21.
That's fast, man.
Out of Texas. There have been some questions as well. I should mention that Adonai Mitchell, a guy who I don't believe should fall down very far, but possibly could due to some health concerns. I'm not going to say what it is because I don't want to get it wrong. But with potential to that,
that's a
he could be falling.
He very well could be. We'll see how that plays out Thursday night. He may make it to round two.
Didn't just spurt something out that he didn't know verified was true. That's amazing, dude. You're working on your problems. I'm so
trying. Progress.
I wish you were too.
So we're not going to, this upcoming season, we're not going to do a fine system. We're going to be better people.
We'll do a fine system.
We're going to do
work on myself. I don't know if I got my payout from that.
Oh, wait. Yeah, he needs it. We never did the results on.
We'll finish this episode record. with the results on the record, and hopefully a payout.
Get back on track here. There is a guy that's going to be going probably round two. Guy you didn't mention in that receiver group, Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. This dude is going to be good. It looks like a combo of DK and Debo right now.
Highly slept on. Who maybe if we're saying that he looks like DK and Debo, don't forget that Chiefs general manager Brett Veach came out and said that DK was a guy that he should have done more research on, that they definitely shouldn't have passed on him. He said that was a big miss on him and his team, and they won't make that mistake again.
Honestly, if that's the comparisons he's getting right now, I would love that type of receiver over any of the other guys you guys are talking about right now. We've had the speed. We've had Tyreek Hill. We had Mecole Hardman. We've had lots of guys with speed on our team. All right. But at least, actually, since before Patrick Mahomes, since really with Alex Smith, post Dwayne Bowe, we've really been craving a big body receiver who's going to snatch balls out of DB's hands. Like, he's really going to make a difference possession wise out there as a receiver.
That was supposed to be receiver turn tight end Kelvin Benjamin.
Your default, without any question, number one receiver, right?
It's been a while, and not just that, but a big bodied receivers, possession style, who can go up and get those 50-50 balls and come down with them more than 33% of the time.
Keon Any Coleman. Of the guys that we thought were going to be that way are like, were injury prone.
Yeah, I that's definitely a player with the archetype that we've been missing in Kansas City for a while. And I think that type of receiver would be best suited with Patrick Mahomes, especially when we're looking at some of the trouble that Patrick's gotten into the past few seasons with defensive linemen in his face, having to throw it to untrustworthy players or just throw it away, and guys not having the hands to be able to catch it.
Or have to force something to Travis Kelce.
Yeah. And so I'd like to have another young possession type receiver who can just go up and snatch it out of thin air.
But this guy's going second round.
Projected second round right now.
Hey, who knows? We could make moves in day two. Realistically, what I think will happen with the Kansas City Chiefs is the left tackles are not available. Receivers have gone on a run, and the defensive end or defensive lineman with value at 32 may not be there. And we could see teams who are needing to trade back up into the first round to get their quarterback out of Michael Penix Jr., maybe a Bo Nix type of quarterback, would be asking the Chiefs, hey, let's move up. let's grab that pick from you. And here's some day 2, day 3 draft capital to help stifle some of that. And the Chiefs are able early in round 2 to take a wide receiver, maybe the left tackle or defensive end that they see is valuable in those positions. I think that's probably the most likely scenario is that we're drafting back and we will not take a pick at 32 or in the first round.
I got a good Chiefs question for this draft, guys. We've had a lot of success. There's no T at the end of that word. But we've had a lot of success at the end of the draft. Late round draft picks. Picking a DB. Do you think the Chiefs pick a DB at all in this draft?
One or two. We got 5, 6 picks, right?
We do have 6 picks. I wouldn't say
there's a lot of other holes. But you think this is the year we kind of lose that tradition and there's a lot of other holes.
I don't think so, because your DBs are, especially your late round DBs, are often the guys who make up the special teams. So I would say that's not something that we'll miss out on. I think we'll definitely take one, probably day 3, probably round 6 or round 7, just to fill up the roster spots that are needed. But that will definitely come after, obviously our main values, defensive line, receiver, left tackle, but coming in at tight end, linebacker, interior offensive line, I think we'll probably take one each of those before we get to a DB pick, unless there's just some astronomical level of value or talent that has miraculously fallen to us.
Do you think that changes a little bit with the new kickoff rules, having different players out there for the kickoff besides DBs?
That's a really good question. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah. What are the new kickoff rules? I don't know.
Tybo, did you ever watch the XFL?
The new stuff, not the old stuff.
Yeah. So the new rules are kickoff team stays basically where they are kicking off from. You're only 10 yards apart. I'm saying you kick from your normal spot at the 25 or 35, whatever it was. But the picking team is all up on their line. And now instead of having the players tiered from 10 yards away or 20 yards away all the way back to the goal line, every single player except for 2 players who can return the kick are now only 10 yards away from the kicking team. Once the ball is kicked, kicking team cannot move until, or neither team can move until the ball has been received. From there, it's just a mosh pit and they can go and block each other. They're only 10 yards away from each other, so no running starts. Now, if the ball goes out of the end zone and resulting in a touchback,
10-yard running start. I don't know.
But you can't get your 30 or 40 yard running start with the players in the back who would use to create that wedge. So there's no massive impacts going on there. If the ball goes out for a touchback, the offense gets to start at the 35 yard line instead of the 25 yard line.
And it bounces in and goes to the end zone. It's like the 25 yard line.
Yeah. If it bounces in and is downed, then it goes to the 25 yard line. If it goes out of the end zone, then it's the 35 yard line. And I think that if it goes out of bounds, resulting in the penalty, I think they moved it up. So instead of getting it at the 45, you get it at like the 50 or the opponent's 45 yard line, if I remember that correctly.
Damn.
So big changes. We could be seeing a lot more returns, making this more exciting. But I think that's a really valid point, Sean, that you brought up is does that change the way that we see picking players for these special team units? You're still going to have to cover punts. Punts have not changed. You're still going to have your PATs and your block PATs. So that's not going to change. But that could change a little bit. Maybe you want a little bit beefier guys. I really don't know how that's going to impact the that specific player type that they want up there, at least for the kicking team. For the receiving team, you're probably going to want more beefier guys like defensive ends and maybe linebackers. Maybe you could even take some of your more agile offensive linemen, maybe your backups, who would sit up there and be able to block a little bit better.
I think that's the whole entire kickoff thing right there is the reason we went out and got a Louis Riesz-Zamet, Reese Lighting. I think he'd be a big help in the return game.
That's a good name for him, bro.
Reese Lightning.
Reese Lightning. All right.
I think I don't know if Travis threw the ball backwards. He saw Travis throw the ball backwards last year to Kadarius Toney. He's been doing it for the past few years. He's trying to implement that rugby pitch in, and who better to do it than a rugby player?
Hey. Well, now that you can have two players receiving the ball from that kickoff, so you could do more rugby style tosses should the opportunity ever present itself. I don't think that's a bad move whatsoever. And who knows what this guy is? He going to make the 53 man roster? It's possible. Who knows? He's definitely got some intangibles. He's faster than Tyreek. At least that's what we've seen on the field. He runs a full mile per hour faster. He's got the abilities to catch
without pads.
But the way that these guys wear pads these days with how small they are, is that really affecting any in-game mobility or speed these days?
A little bit. You're definitely faster without pads.
I'm not going to say you're not faster, but I wonder if it's really that big of a difference with how tiny these pads are these days. I mean, guys don't wear thigh or knee pads or hip pads most of the time. You're running out there in game shorts and tiny shoulder pads that aren't much bigger than the shoulders you have on.
Yeah.
Great contribution, Tybo.
Appreciate I already you put doing. In my contribution for that segment, for that topic.
For the show.
It's checked out. Listen, I'm excited for the draft. We have a lot of needs. I'm expecting the Chiefs to trade back, grab some draft capital and be able to move forward and fill those needs. We've got very few guys that are going to be under contract after 2024. So while there's a lot of talk about the Chiefs moving up and being able to grab some of these talented players, I think the draft capital is going to be used more wisely with the positions that need to be filled.
I've stopped giving my opinion on the draft stuff with Veach now. He knows what he's doing. I have no idea.
You just want to watch the magic.
Let it unfold in front of me, man. Get somebody good, Veach.
You got it, bud. Go ahead.
Do something.
All right.
In Veach, we trust. In Spags, we trust.
In Reed, we trust.
That doesn't work.
Nobody had said that.
I'm saying it now.
We already knew that, though. So
we know that Andy Reid is one of the greatest coaches to ever coach football.
Yeah, and with the new contract reaching out until 2029, he has the ability to become the most winning coach in the NFL history, passing Don Shula. If I remember correctly, he only needs 12 wins.
Dude, he's only this good because of Patrick Mahomes. Can you really count him as one of the greatest because he's had Patrick Mahomes?
I'm sorry. Can we go back a second? How many wins did you say he was behind Don Shula?
I think he needs 12 wins per season for the remaining lifetime of his contract. I got cut off by Tybo. He's good at that. 12 wins. Remaining contract. To put him at 330, Don Shula's at 328, which would make him the winningest coach in NFL history. That does not include postseason. Postseason, I believe Don Shula is at like 345 or so. And that obviously increases Andy Reid's number from where he's at as well. But regular season, 12 wins, I believe it is, per year through 2029.
easily attainable.
A wise man once told me, fuck off.